Welcome to the Seeking Contentment for the Christian Woman podcast. My name is Nicole, and this is my version of a front porch where we sip good coffee that probably has too much creamer and go deep on the things that grow your faith and help you rediscover joy in your life and your marriage. If you find yourself feeling discontent or restless in your life, you are in the right place. If you're bored with the mundane day-to-day or feel like you're losing yourself while taking care of your family, I completely get it. I was you. Then several years ago, the Lord took me on a journey of finding my identity and purpose in Him, and it changed everything. If you're ready to go deep on mindset, identity, faith, and marriage, you're in the right place. Let's ditch that feeling of discontentment. You matter, your life matters, and your day-to-day matters. A fulfilling life is possible, and it's possible for you. Let's do this. Hey everyone, I hope you're all doing well today. I am actually in a little cabin in the woods today on a little work retreat. And I read something this morning in my devotions that I just wanted to share. It is about grieving the Holy Spirit. And it just pointed out some things to me that I hadn't really realized before. I hadn't thought about, I hadn't seen it. Not that it's not in the Bible, because it absolutely is, but just things that I haven't necessarily had presented to me in this way before. And this is out of the book Holy Fire by R.T. Kendall. And I'm just going to read a couple pages out of this chapter that were really speaking to me this morning, and I hope they speak to you as well. So the first part is titled, How Much Do You Pray? Here is the point. When you spend time with God, you get to know His ways as well as His Word, assuming you are reading His Word. More than that, you develop a sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. You eventually get to know His ways to the extent that you sense Him when you are about to grieve Him. The problem is, when we grieve Him, we almost never know that we did it. We find out later. But you rarely know at the precise moment. Samson told his secret to Delilah and didn't feel a thing, but he found moments later that his strength had gone. See Judges 16, 20 and 21. I would define spirituality as the time gap between the sin and repentance. In other words, how long does it take before you realize or admit that you sinned, that you were wrong? Some take years. They'll say, I'll never admit that I was wrong. And then they are true to their word. Some, however, after a long time, cool off or come to themselves and say, well, perhaps I got it wrong after all. But what a pity that it took so long. Some narrow the time gap to months, some to weeks, some to hours, and that's better. Some to minutes, and some to seconds. And if you can narrow the time gap to seconds, you are often able to sense the wings of the dove flapping and ready to fly off, and then you stop yourself. Don't finish that sentence. Don't write that letter. Don't make that phone call. Nothing is worth grieving the Holy Spirit. So if you want to live a lively, real, unfeigned, and constant relationship with God, His Son, and the Holy Spirit, you must know God's ways. One of the ways of the Holy Spirit is that He is sensitive, like the dove. Did you know that pigeons and doves are in the same family? But they are not the same. You can train a pigeon, you cannot train a dove. The pigeon can be domesticated. The dove is a wild bird. A pigeon is belligerent. A dove is loving. A pigeon is boisterous. A dove is gentle. A pigeon will mate with more than one pigeon. The dove mates with only one dove for life. The pigeon represents the counterfeit spirit, strange fire. The dove represents the Holy Spirit, holy fire. I reckon that there are church services that people imagine that the Holy Ghost came on our church, but when you get to the bottom of it, you discern that it may have been pigeon religion or strange fire. Personally, I think it's an absolutely wonderful but probably rare moment when the authentic Holy Spirit comes in great measure, holy fire. It is so easy to grieve the Spirit. It happens to people on the way to church. They shout to each other as they drive into the parking lot. Then they worship as if nothing is wrong and wonder why there's no sense of God. If it happens to a minister as he prepares, it happens to a minister as he prepares his sermon. It can happen at any moment. Although we only have ourselves to blame when we lose our tempers, point the finger, or speak of another person in an unflattering manner, it is also true that our adversary, the devil, lurks about looking for an opportunity to seize our weak spot. We all have them. The ungrieved spirit in me will connect to the ungrieved spirit in you. If you get two or three people together when we all have been walking in the ungrieved Holy Spirit, there is a richness of fellowship. That doesn't mean everybody is in total agreement theologically or politically, but the sweetness is there. Imagine what it would look like to be a congregation of a dozen or 1,200 or 12,000, where all, everyone, walking in the same ungrieved Holy Spirit. Who knows what would happen when marriages are healed, people start forgiving their parents, Christians start speaking to one another, ministers finally begin speaking to one another, and everybody truly loves each other. First the dove, then the fire. What grieves the Holy Spirit? I wonder how many people pray for the fire to fall, but take no notice of their personal attitudes. I wonder how many pray for revival, but do not think of examining themselves. I wonder how many go to church to worship God and hear a sermon, but have no awareness of personal issues that they cause the dove to stay at bay. I wonder how many times we grieve the Holy Spirit and feel no conviction of sin whatsoever. If therefore you want to know what grieves the Holy Spirit, read Ephesians 4:30 through 32. The first one is bitterness. I return to this. It is one of the most natural feelings in the world. It also seems right. We are all prone to feel justified in having a feeling of bitterness. It comes from being mistreated, maligned, hurt, betrayed, and lied about, and especially when we feel that we are upholding what is fair and true. There is one other ingredient in bitterness, self-righteousness. This is often the cause. Because we feel so right, we may feel no conviction of sin unless, that is, we develop an acute sensitivity to the Spirit's ways. Bitterness is the result of unforgiveness. At the conclusion of this section on grieving the Spirit, Paul exhorts, "Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ God forgave you," Ephesians 4:32. Totally forgiving those who have hurt us eradicates one of bitterness. This comes when you resolve and carry out that number one, never telling anybody what they did. Number two, not letting them be afraid of you or feeling nervous around you. Number three, not letting them feel guilty but overlooking what they did, even if they don't know what they have done. Remember how Jesus forgave the cross, Luke 22:23-34. Number four, letting them save face as opposed to rubbing their noses in it, as Joseph forgave his brothers, Genesis 45:8. Number five, accept this matter of total forgiveness as a permanent lifestyle. You do it today and a year from now and 10 years from now. Number six, you bless them. When you can sincerely pray for them to be blessed, to be successful and not punished, and to do this from your heart, there will almost certainly be no bitterness left. Total forgiveness and the indwelling ungrieved spirit are virtually the same thing. It ensures that the dove remains and feels at home with us. Always pray for conviction of sin. Why? Because the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, Jeremiah 17:9. To be sure that you have totally forgiven, ask the Lord to show you when you haven't totally forgiven others. I hope you would want to know when you haven't totally forgiven. When there is a conviction of sin, it is a good sign that God is on your case, especially if you are truly sorry before God for your self-pity and feeling of entitlement. Once you are convicted, the next step is appealing to good old 1 John 1:9, primarily for Christians. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purge us from all unrighteousness. Keep short accounts with the Lord. As soon as you sense bitterness and the dove lifting from you, turn to the Lord. Remember 1 John 1:9. He is faithful. The goal is to enjoy unbroken fellowship with the Holy Spirit so that there is no discontinuity. Apparently I'm not saying that right. In sensing his smile and presence. After all, you want the dove to remain. Rage and anger. God can show his wrath, but we cannot. Seems unfair, doesn't it? But that's the way it is. No matter how right you are, and I may be, even theologically, when we lose our tempers, we are the ones in the wrong, even if we are in the right. The Holy Spirit's fruit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Galatians 5:22-23. All that I am saying about the dove in this chapter can be summed up. It is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. If I am filled with rage and anger, and claim that the Holy Spirit has come down on me in power, mark it down. It is strange fire. Brawling and slander. The ESV has clamor and slander. Ephesians 4:31. Clamor means shouting. The wisdom that comes from below, said James 3:13 through 15, is earthly and of the devil. A shouting match shows that the devil got in. Slander is making false and damaging statements about someone. You may ask, but what if it's true? I would only say be very careful. You may be telling the truth, but what would your motive in hurting someone's name or reputation be? Every form of malice. This basically means ill will. Far from wishing a person well, you want to see him punished, caught, and exposed. A motivation like this has its origin in the flesh and the devil. The Holy Spirit will not lead you to wish bad things for a person. Vengeance belongs to God. Romans 12:19. Don't deprive God of what he does best, namely to bring vengeance and to vindicate. Don't compete with his expertise. The list on what grieves the Holy Spirit continues into Ephesians 5. Don't overlook the obvious in Ephesians 5:1 through 7. And the last one is sexual immorality. Paul asks that there not be even a hint of sexual immorality. This means that you cannot be too careful when it comes to sexual behavior and temptation. This includes flirting, saying something that you hope will ignite a person to have lustful thoughts towards you. When James talks about a small spark setting a forest on fire, James 3:5, this can happen by either venting your anger or by an unguarded comment, or by making an intentional remark that would tempt another. Let's face it, sexual promiscuity has been a problem among charismatic and conservative evangelical leaders. What is astonishing is that so often it's swept under the carpet. Nothing brings disgrace upon the name of Christ and the church like a sexual scandal. The world loves it, the press loves it, and the glossy magazines love it. What is saddest of all is the blatant lack of outrage among some Christian leaders who have been sexually immoral and some of their followers. Talk about strange fire. Talk about grieving the Holy Spirit. And so that's all I'm going to read from there. There's more to that chapter, but those things just really were hitting me and standing out to me this morning when I read those. And so I just wanted to share them. I hope that they challenged you and, maybe stirred up something in you that you've been grieving the Holy Spirit without meaning to or without even realizing that you were doing it, and that separates us from his blessing. So again, the book is called Holy Fire by R.T. Kendall, and I just wanted to share it with you guys, and I hope it blesses you and challenges you like it did me. I will talk to you guys again soon. Bye-bye, everybody. If this episode challenged or blessed you in some way, I would love it if you would share it, subscribe, or leave a review. It only takes a few minutes, and it helps to get my show out to others who may need it. You can connect with me on Facebook by joining my free group. Go to Seeking Contentment Community and just hit join. I feel truly blessed to have you here today. Praying for you daily, Nicole.